I don't know about you, but I know for me this Christmas season, probably more than others in the past, I've really been getting into watching Christmas movies. And last Thursday, Pastor Keith was speaking to our Golden Hearts ministry and was talking about one of his favorites. One of his favorites happens to be one of my favorites, and it would probably be a favorite of many of you in the room. He was talking about Ebenezer Scrooge and the Christmas Carol. And the beautiful story that comes from that movie, and it's a story of a changed life from a changed perspective. It's one Ebenezer Scrooge. You remember him, don't you? He was self-absorbed. He was greedy. He was mean. But after a change of perspective, after being visited by the by Christmas past, Christmas present, and Christmas future, the spirit of all three of those, after being visited by those spirits, he now had a fresh perspective of who he was and what his life meant, not only in his own shoes, but what his life meant to other people. And after seeing this fresh perspective, he walked away changed. He was a man who was humble, he was kind, he was generous, he was fun. He was a loving person who changed the city that he lived in. Another story that I love is that telling the story of a man named George Bailey. I know a lot of you know about George Bailey from Bedford Falls. George Bailey, of course, his story is told and It's a Wonderful Life. And George is a wonderful man. He's a man who, he is charismatic, he's kind, he is generous, he is selfless in many ways. And over the years of really humbling himself and giving himself over to the needs and the people's lives around him, he looks back over his life and sees opportunities missed and an address that still was in Bedford Falls, and he finds himself now self-absorbed, overly thinking about money, though it was a pretty bad situation he was in. He's overwhelmed and he sees that his life, as he views it, has no purpose. But yet after a fresh perspective that comes from, not saying this is biblical, but from a guardian angel named Clarence, Clarence takes him through and shows him what life would have been like without him ever existing. And that perspective that he sees changes the way he views himself, others, and even Bedford Falls. He then goes home and he loves his old house with all of its flaws. He adores his kids and wants to wrap them in his arms. He is now a happy, generous man again. He's a person who now is not consumed with thinking about himself, but he's thinking about others. And he is truly a happy man, full of joy. I love that story. It's a great story, and there are many stories, and if we really took time, we could get outside of Christmas movies, and we could move into just all the stories that we really like in this life, and a lot of them are going to have that kind of refrain to it. A change of perspective leads to a changed life. One of my favorite stories in the Bible involves a situation like this, and it's about a wee little man. I always identify well with him, and so like the wee little man as Zacchaeus. And we don't know that much about him, really. We know he was a tax collector, and we know that he apparently wasn't needing to get near the crowd as Jesus was coming by one day because of probably his relationship to them. What we would know about him from everything we would read and what we see in those verses is he seemed to be a very self-absorbed man, a very greedy man, a man who thought of himself way before he would think of someone else. And one day, his perspective changed. Why? Because Jesus Christ approached him. He came to him and he said, I'm coming to your house today. We're about to get around your table. Things are going to be different. After a time at the table with Jesus, his perspective is different. His life is changed. He leaves a generous man, a man who used to be a man of injustice. Now he's just. A man who is generous when once he was greedy. And we see someone that is radically changing the world that he's in because of a change in perspective, that coming from Jesus Christ himself. The truth is this, is that when we encounter Jesus Christ, he changes us. With new perspectives, he changes the way that we think about God, that we think about our own lives, that we think about others, our things, and the reality of the entire world. He changes by grace our lives, each of our lives, from the inside out. This Christmas Eve, we wanted to have a little different twist to our time together. We wanted to come to the table because we believe at the table, as Jesus encountered Zacchaeus, as Jesus gave fresh perspective and honestly presence in the life of Zacchaeus, that that's what he desires to do with us tonight. He meets us here. And I believe it will be here at the table that he can give us fresh perspective and a humble and generous attitude as we look to his finished work for us and his life-changing, identity-altering presence. I'm gonna give you just a couple things that the table will do for us tonight. And here's maybe the way to think about it when we come in this last gathering of the Advent season. We want to think about Christmas and communion. We want to think about the cradle that leads to the cross. We want to think about the life of Christ in our place. The first thing I want us to see is this, is we want to see that Christmas and really Christmas and communion highlights at the very same time our deep need for grace, our deep need for rescue, and at the very same time, God's perfect love and grace given freely to us. We see at the very same time, we see our sin and we see his love. We see our need and we see his grace. We see it at the very same time. We see it in just the reality that he came. When we celebrate the first Advent, the coming of Christ, that the word of God became flesh and he dwelt among us. He pitched his tent among us. We're reminded of what had to happen, about God's love for us, for sinners, that he had to come, that he came in the flesh. But we're also, in that very same moment, reminded that he came because he loves us, because he cares for us, because he loves to provide for our needs. Christmas reminds us of this. I want you to consider one of the most well-known verses in the whole world, John 3:16. We see his perfect love in the gift of his son, and we see it expressed in full when the son dies for us in our place. John 3:16 says that God so loved the world that he did what? That he gave his son. 1 John 3:16 says, by this we know what love is, that he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. 1 John chapter 4 says, in this the love of God was made manifest among us, or made known among us. We saw it, that God sent his only son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and he sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love each other. So the first thing is tonight, when we come to the table, and we will soon, we'll come and we'll be reminded of, yes, our need for a Savior, our need to be rescued, but also we're reminded at the very same time how much God loves us. What a gift. The second thing that we want to be reminded of tonight is this. It's something that I say all the time. I would not dare miss the opportunity to do it on this evening. It's that wherever you are tonight, this evening, wherever you are, that is where Jesus will meet you. Wherever you are tonight, that's where he'll meet you. That's where he finds you. You're the person he invites to the table. It's not someone else. It's not the person next to you or the person that you might be in 10 years. He invites you. He invites you. But what we've been reminded of tonight, even in the little examples that we've used, is this, is that coming to the table, yes, he meets us where we are. But my goodness, when we meet with Jesus, he does change us. He changes us. But I don't want anybody in this room to think that there's a better you that he would meet with. He meets with you. He loves you because he loves you. Wherever you are tonight, that is where Christ will meet you. The cradle that leads to the cross really teaches us this. I've been thinking about this a lot because I think there's people in different spots in this room. Some of you in this room currently, you're in a place of suffering. Some of you in a place of suffering. You're in a place of deep sadness. I know there's people here. Some of you in the room, you might be in a place of darkness tonight. You might believe that God's forgotten you. You might believe that he doesn't hear you or desire you, that he can't understand you, or that he just flat out doesn't care. And I want you to know that the cradle that leads to the cross says that cannot be true. You can have a million questions in this world, but one question that you cannot have, or one thought that doesn't need to exist in your head, is that God doesn't care. The cradle that leads to the cross proves otherwise. Several reasons for this, and we will move to the table. One is that he became flesh. He became flesh. He entered into the suffering world to suffer himself. He walked through the valley of the shadow of death. Jesus did, God did, in the flesh. Because of this, listen, he understands. He understands you. Anybody in the room, he understands you. He cares. He can be trusted. He can identify with your circumstances. With him, there will always be hope. One of my favorite Advent readings is Isaiah 9, and it gives a description about Jesus Christ. And one of the words or the phrases that describe him is wonderful counselor. I don't know if you have ever talked to a friend or you've wanted to chat with somebody or somebody has come to you. If you're in a moment right now where you are suffering and people know that, they probably come and give you advice or they come and they try to chat with you and talk to you, and they probably mean super well. But I don't know if you've ever been there before where you have to almost, you either think it in your head or maybe you even said it out loud that you say, you can't understand where I am. You don't really know. I know you think you know, but you don't know. Well, I'm sure you've probably at least thought that before. The Bible proclaims to us that the wonderful counselor, that he actually does. He actually gets you. He actually understands. He actually has the perspective that you are looking for. He does know what you're going through. Hebrews chapter 2 says this in verse 14, since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it is not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers and his sisters in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of his people. Verse 18, listen to this. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he's able to help those who are being tempted. Hebrews chapter 4 talks about him as well. It says, for we don't have a high priest who's unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Tonight, when we invite you to come to the table, we invite you to come in faith. We don't ask you to come with the faith that you may wish you had. This huge, ginormous faith. Maybe you come today with a little mustard seed. As I remind the church often, listen, focus not on the size of your faith, but set your gaze on the substance that your faith's in. Set your gaze not on the size of your faith, but on the author and the perfecter of your faith. That's Jesus Christ. We come to the table looking to him, hearing him say to us, my body broken for you. As you eat the bread tonight, you're reminded his body was broken for you in your place. For he who knew no sin, that he became sin, so that in him, in Jesus Christ, you might become the very righteousness of God. It's amazing. His body broken for you. His blood poured out for the forgiveness of your sins. No one in this room has a sin that's so big that his grace can't cover. No one is too far gone. Not for the grace of God. He is able to meet any person exactly where they are with his abounding love and grace. The table reminds us that tonight. As you drink that cup, remember, his blood poured out for you. He says to you tonight, I can be trusted. He speaks into your heart, I will be with you. He says to you, you're not too far away. You're not forgotten. He tells you, I can lead you. I can guide you. I can identify with your sufferings. I'll walk with you there. I'll join you in your valley. Receive fresh my gift to you. Receive my life, my goodness, my deepest love, my unending grace. Jesus calls us tonight to his table to come to me. That's what he says. Come to me with your sin. Come to me with your broken relationships. Come to me with your heart that is hardened. I'll set you free. I want to invite you to come tonight. We're going to have a song sung over us as we do. I might ask Pastor Keith if you would to come to this table. But what we're asking you to do is to, as your heart is ready, and this is for those who are in Christ. If you're not in Christ, I would love to lead you to him tonight. I'll be up here. But what we would love to do is have you come and get some amazing bread. This is really great bread, okay? It is Barton bread. It is beautiful. It's beautiful bread. But that's not the point tonight. The point really is it's Christ and his life broken for us. But come and get your bread, and you can get a cup. And if you want to go back to your seat, if you want to go to an area with your family, however it is you want to do, there's probably too many people to maneuver much in the worship center. But what we're asking you to do is just come, get that, and you can go back up the aisles or get back to your seat. However, it's going to be a little messy getting this done, but it's going to be wonderful. Okay? And so we invite you to come. The Lord is with you. Let the table remind you of that, your need and yet his love. Let it remind you that no matter where you are, that's where he'll meet you. Okay? So I'm going to pray. And as I do, those who are going to be leading us in song, if y'all will come. Father, thank you so much for your beautiful gospel tonight, your gospel sung over us, spoken over us. Lord, as we look from the cradle to the cross, as we look to the one who has died, who has risen, who has ascended, who is coming back again, the one who loves us and cares for us, Jesus Christ our Lord. As we set our gaze upon him, Lord, may you bring freedom in this place. Lord, may on this Christmas Eve, may our hearts be humbled. May our lives be set apart all the more. Lord, may we grow tonight from one glory to the next as we are made into the image of Christ. Lord, may we continue to look to him and find freedom in his beautiful name and his finished work for us. Lord, work through the table tonight as your spirit moves. Lord, it's not just a perspective that we need. Lord, we need your presence. And so, God, I pray that we would lean into that tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.